Good afternoon. Good to be back in the service and enjoyed the fellowship and the wonderful lunch. And as I said this morning, the way, the truth, and the life. I want to talk a little bit more about truth this afternoon. So when Jesus appeared before Pilate, the subject of truth was discussed, and Jesus claimed to bear witness of the truth. And we remember Pilate said, "What is truth?" This was recorded in John 18, 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." So many people today sound a lot like Pilate. What's truth? A research group surveyed asking, is there absolute truth? 66% of the adults asked that question responded that they believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. So that was the gist of that survey. 72% of those the age of 18 to 25 expressed this belief. In a series of more than 20 interviews conducted at a random large university, people were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. Truth that is true across all times and all culture of people. All but one answered along these lines. Truth is whatever you believe. There is no absolute truth. If there was a such thing as absolute truth, how could we know what it is? And this is a popular opinion nowadays. People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. That's the political ideology that's being thrown out. If you believe in absolute truth, you're dangerous. So there's two views of truth. The corresponding view to reality and the relative view that there is not an absolute. So, corresponding view, a statement is true if and only if it corresponds to or agrees with factual reality. And this is a view of logic. So, I'm going to give a very elementary demonstration or example. 2 + 2. Any of us in here of age has had any type of elementary math know that 2 + 2 = 4. Can I prove that 2 + 2 = 4? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. Or 1, 2, 1, 2 = 4. I just proved through corresponding that that's absolute truth. The relative would say no absolute. When it's true depends on the view of a person or cultures, not on whether statements correspond to objective reality. And that view of truth, Stacy could say, no, 2 + 2 = 5. Well, prove it. He says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Well, he held up three fingers over here to make it five. But, you know, the reality is, the question was, what is 2 plus 2? It's never going to be 5. It's always going to be 4. And I found this interesting in doing some study on this a while back. There's a poet, his name was Steve Turner. He wrote a poem called Creed. And when it was being critiqued, he had a statement. He says, I believe that each man must find truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. And I believe that there is no absolute truth excepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. The majority believe that if there is no absolute truth, then there is no right and wrong. So that's the whole objective behind not wanting to find the truth, an absolute truth, a corresponding truth, wanting a relative truth, is there is no difference in right and wrong. And in the absence of truth, ultimately, at the end of the day, power is going to win the game. And it's going to be the only game in town. A relative theory of what I believe is truth. And despite the absurdity, these views of truth, they've become very popular. And all want to be free to do their own thing. So, as Christians, fortunately, we have historically affirmed the view of correspondence for good reasons, because it's consistent with what the Bible teaches. So let's look now at the biblical view of truth. When the Bible speaks of truth, it describes that which corresponds to reality. What is factual, absolute, and not relative. Some biblical statements regarding truth. God is a God of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, and for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Jesus is the truth and full of truth and spoke the truth. John 14:6, as we read this morning, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Word was made manifest, of John 1:14, and the Word was made manifest and dwelt among us. And behold, his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, when the very beginning of John, the Gospel according to John, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that right there is absolute truth. And so whatever Jesus says, whatever the inspired writers says in the Bible is absolute truth, because it is the Word of God. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall he hear that he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we see here the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and it guided the apostles in all truth. The Word of God is truth. John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The judgments of God according to truth. Psalms 96 and 13 says, before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Romans 2 and 2, Paul says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which committed such things. So as Christians, we should walk in the truth as revealed by Jesus, including the standard of morality. And he taught in Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then in Ephesians 5, 1 through 17, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an adulterer hath any inheritance and the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for we are sometime darkness, but now are light in the Lord, walking as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doeth make manifest in light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And next we'll look at Christians should patiently teach others the truth. 2 Timothy 2:23-25. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness and instructions. Those that oppose themselves of God peradventure will give them recompense to the acknowledging of the truth. And many will turn away their ears from the truth. 2 Timothy 2:4-4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So, through looking at all this, so what is truth? We talked about the correspondence to reality and the relative theory. But what is truth? Truth is what is real, and God is real. Reveals what is real. God is truth, and what he says is truth. So, as Christians, we must hold to the correspondent view of truth. You believe in moral absolutes of right and wrong. You accept Jesus and his word as the ultimate source of truth, especially in regard to morality and salvation. For those willing to accept Jesus as the ultimate source of truth, they will be greatly blessed. We'll close with this verse, John 8:31-36. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we want to be free. We want to be free from sin. We want the Lord's blood. We want to be in Christ by putting on His blood to be in Him through the gospel as we know it, through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, baptism, and then continuing that truth. And again, I appreciate your kind attention and appreciate the invitation to share the word with you today. And we'll stand and sing and sing. If anyone desires the service of the church, we'll let your wishes be known at this time.